نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد، قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي: يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد الجود والكرم. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلي البلبل. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلي وصحابي وبارك وسلم. أما بعد،
The human being when he departts from this world, from this dunya, and we see this morning and evening, during the day we see with our eyes this happening, and we pray the janazas, people's funerals, and they are present some time ago in this dunya, little while ago in this dunya, and after a short while they haven't just left this world, rather they are buried underneath the crust of the earth. They haven't just left the world, they are buried underneath the earth. Whoever has come, he has to depart. This is the law. But this dunya, this world, the busyness in this world, being occupied in this world, living in this dunya, staying in this dunya, it makes the human being, the insan, so lazy and negligent and ignorant of this fact and that haqiqat, that reality, he more or less forgets it. He's being busy in the world, his issues, his happiness in the world, they make him forget this one reality. In fact, rather, it, despite it being so important for us to be aware of, in the hadith it states, the meaning of the hadith says, that at least during the day 25 times you should remember death. Allahumma barik lana fil maut. We should recite this, that 25 times a person should remember death during the day. And if he does, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will let him depart this dunya with iman. But we don't even do this. That all day long, 24 hours, Allah Ta'ala has given to us time. At least after a salah, we should 25 times, definitely, I'm going to decide, Allahumma barak lana fi maut wa fi ma ba'da al-maut. 25 times, even after one salah, if you can. What a great guarantee. And some hadith is stated that he will die, Allah will give him the death of a shaheed. Why? What is in this action? It's a big lesson. A big sabak, you understand? To remember death. It's a very important action. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his words are unique and great. But the reason is that when you remember something 25 times, then obviously you won't forget death. A person who doesn't forget death, then he will also prepare for death. So forgetting death is the worst thing. I'm not going to die, I don't know about death. People don't say it from their tongues, but naturally, fitratan, it's absorbed, embedded in our life, that our lifestyle, our amal actions, they demonstrate that we have forgotten our maut, our death. That our lifestyle and way of living in the world is different. Those people who remember death, that you look at their lifestyle, how they live their life, the morning in their life, in the morning, the morning in the evening, the morning the time in the afternoon, their salah, how they pray salah, look at it. And those people who've forgotten death, look at their ibadat, even though they're praying salah as well, they're also reciting Quran, they're also implementing all the amal, but there's a difference, like the difference between the heavens and the earth, the gap. That person remembers maut, He knows that these amal of mine, these deeds are going to be presented further along the line. And I have to go into Allah Ta'ala's court and I have to present this salah. And all my actions I need to present in the court of Allah. I have to present them in such a way that Allah Ta'ala through this amal of mine, my deeds will be pleased with me and He will forgive me. This is the style. He's not going to look at our salah quantity. Allah's not going to look at none of this. What does Allah Ta'ala have no need for our salah? He has no need for our tilawat, for our recitation. That doesn't matter how great we recite, how loudly we recite, but we cannot fulfill the right of that ibadah. How will we present that deed in front of Allah? That we see Allah Ta'ala has made a makhluk. Their job is to just prostrate and go into ruku and bow. So tell me, look at that makhluk, and we are here immersed in the dunya. But Allah Ta'ala has given us an opportunity, a chance, that whenever you do an amal, an action, do remember one thing, that this action, you are going to present it in the court of Allah, this salah, this dua. We keep the ibadah just to this dunya. We restrict to this dunya. I've prayed salah in jama'ah. Okay, it's fine. Yes, just like we are just getting rid of the action. Just getting rid of the action. No, one salah is so valuable, one sajda is so valuable, we shouldn't discredit it. When a person is remembering death, he remembers death and he does sajda, then his sajda, his prostration is immaculate. So brothers, that day and night we see people dying, we observe their janazah. Where's that person going who's passing away? And how long is it between me and that person who's died? How far are we between each other? I've seen this. I've seen a person who's died and his wife's died. I've seen this myself when I'm telling you this. In Karachi, a big graveyard. And for miles, it is vast graveyard for miles. And a person, his wife passed away, and 40 years passed, and she passed away when she was young, and 40 years along, then his son had a desire, his children, he had a desire that the grave, that when my father passed, wanted next to his wife. Now 40 years, 45 years later, and that graveyard has expanded for miles, and they're looking, and I'm telling you this. So they said, let's have a look, let's look for the grave. Alhamdulillah, the awlad, while they're looking, and they arrived to the grave of the mother. And right next to that grave, subhanAllah, after 40 years, that person, the man, the husband who died, he was buried next to his wife who died 40, 45 years before. So this is maut. This is death. It is a reality. The insan has to leave this world. And then when he departs, we have to go into that same soil, into the ground. And look at the difference between us and those who have passed away. Not much at all. So this is the reality that we don't think about. We forget about it. Never forget the reality of death. Always remember, whenever you are about to do any amal, then before the magniya, this amal I'm about to do, this action, that I'm doing it out of the fear of death, I have to die and I have to present this deed to Allah. You'll see then the value of that deed, how much you'll appreciate, the greatness will come to that deed, the nur will come to that deed, another thing will come to that deed, ikhlas will come into your deed. Ikhlas, which is the ruh of all actions, ikhlas, you won't do it for the dunya. And you don't need to tell that person that I'm not doing it for the dunya, I'm doing it for Allah Ta'ala's sake. You have no need to remind people this fact, because ikhlas will be aroused when we do dua. Those people in their eyes, there'll be tears, and their eyes will be moist with the tears. They'll say, Allah, forgive me, Allah forgive me. And one is a traditional way of doing it, and 10 hours long you can do dua. Those duas are not duas, but just one deep sigh a person breathes and he does it with ikhlas, the dua, then that dua is very valuable in the eyes of Allah. Very high grade, that dua. And it will happen at that time when you remember death anyway. So the human being, when he departs this world, then there are two conditions. There are a subject that I wanted to share with you. I just said something extra in between this introduction of regarding maut. Allah Ta'ala, He allowed me, enabled me to speak this with my tongue, and more khawf and fear of death has come into my heart. So brothers, the real point here is that when the human being, he leaves this dunya, me and you, then we will be in either of two states. The whole Quran, it contains this message. Rather, the subject of the Quran is this message, if you understand. The subject of the Quran is this, what I'm sharing with you today. This subject. And this is the real subject of the Quran that I'm sharing with you. What is that? That there are two states a person will depart in, and the Quran tells us this. The complete Quran tells us there are two states in which a person, one state is this, that either he'll be muflihun or he'll be the khasirin. Say subhanallah. Subhanallah. Yes, that's it. And then Allah Ta'ala in the Quran has given us misal, examples of previous nations, previous peoples, all examples. This qawm came, they were moved like this, this happened to them, they forgot maut, they forgot death, azab was sent to them, punishment. The whole Quran has given description at the end. The essence is that it is reminding us through the Quran. That's why, remember, those things that Allah Ta'ala gives us messages about the Akhirah, the hereafter, in those messages Allah has put lots of rewards. This, for this reason, due to that reward, he will do the amal and he will get to his ultimate purpose. That's why in the Quran Pak, one letter you get 10 rewards. Reason being that we can attain the purpose and objective and reality of the Quran whilst we're reading it, and that the subject can be embedded in our heads, in our brains, that how a person will develop. Allah Ta'ala wants to explain to us, Allah Ta'ala wants to penetrate our minds with this message, that there'll be two states, either you'll be with the muflihun or you'll be from amongst the khasirin. And then Allah gives the complete description that who are the muflihun, and Allah speaks about Jannah, the hoors and houses and mansions and rivers and ranks and status and orchards and hoors and the wives. For this reason you will attain this, Allah says. Allah says you will achieve these things. What beautiful surahs, Surah Rahman, and Fajr Salah if you pray, and Tahajjud Salah pray Surah Rahman, you'll enjoy it. And Surah Waqiyah, the rewards Allah is mentioning, Allah talking about the right and the left, the people on the right, the people on the left, this will be the hal, this is what they will get. They'll get fruits and bananas and vegetables and beautiful things. They'll get drink. There'll be hoors and couches. They'll be looking at each other. These are waqiyat. These are examples. So Allah Ta'ala is reviving the belief within us. That remember, which group are you going to go in? Go into the muflun. Don't go to the khasirin, the people who are the losers. Don't go into that group. This is the message of the Quran that Allah Ta'ala is delivering to us. Otherwise, what reason is there? Allah Ta'ala is speaking about the hoors in Surah Rahman, telling us the hoor maqsurat, telling us about them. What's the reason Allah has mentioned? It's not a drama, some story, Jackanory folktale. All the qawms before Surah Yusuf and the previous nations, the previous tribes, the events, these aren't stories, tales. Rather, the people of Iman who have believed, when they read these events, then their Iman multiplies. Just like the dua about Rasulullah made the dua, Allah, that increase my love, that I have that yearning, increase my yearning, Allah, ishtiaq, that I can see you. Beautiful dua, beautiful dua. That we have so much yearning for the dunya, one this Allah, one this Allah. Oh, leave all of the dunya and develop this yearning, that Allah, I want to see you in the hereafter. Allah, I want to see you in the hereafter. Allahu Akbar. What a great desire. What a difference in mindset. What a difference in mindset. That what we think about during the day about dunya, Allah says, no, don't think about that. Think about the opposite. Think about me. Because very quickly, very soon, you will see these things. You will attain these things. So now, what's the situation? That two states, Allah says, khasirin. Allah has told their events, their incidents. And will you be the muflihun? Will you be the khasirin? So people, he's living in the world, people in the same reason. The meaning is that everyone should analyze, reflect during the day, that who am I? Which group am I? Have you ever thought about this? Have you ever scanned yourself during the day? Have you ever done self-analysis? How stupid a person is. Are we from the muflihun or the khasirin? No. You're forgiven. That's it. We don't need to think about this. We say, who are the muflihun? Who are the khasirin? What are the signs? Inside me, what qualities do I have? Do I have the qualities of the muflihun or the khasirin? Quran teaches us this. Analyze yourself. What a big deception, delusion, if we don't think about this. Big deception. Look. Think. Ponder, the who are the muflihun, who are the khasirin, who am I? Am I in this group A or am I in group B? Because there's no third group, there's only two. Successful or the failure. Allah's given the sign, those who succeed and those who will fail. So who are the muflihun? That very concise, I'm presenting this topic to you, I can't go in detail because we don't have time. So that we can revise our sabak lesson, say subhanallah. So these majalis, these gatherings of these majalis of dhikr, tazkiyah, purification, where the mashayikh sit down and teach us things. Because we've learned this, I've learned this. So I had this desire that Allah Ta'ala has given us these majalis, mashallah. Opportunity that I'm not giving a bayan, it's not a speech, it's not a lecture, it's not hadith, I'm delivering to you darsul hadith. Mashallah, the ulama, respected scholars are doing this. But what I've heard from the faqirs, the walis Allah, I'm sitting down and discussing that with you. Let's look at ourselves, our lives, and do islah. That, for example, when you hear something, then we need to bring a change into our life. We must. That's when there's enjoyment for me speaking, benefit me speaking, you listening, and this will happen. It will come, the change will come, inshallah. Yes. For sure, a person suddenly shakes and he understands. So I'm giving the signs of the muflihun, the successful people. So there are two things from which a person will attain success. Two things. What's falah? success. The success, laughing, walking into Jannah, smiling. That's success. These are the people who are the successful people. In the Quran, Allah says, the muflihun are those people. The la khawfun alayhim wa lahum yahzanun. No fear, no grief, no sorrow. They have no grief, no need to be sad, no to be distressed. That their kingdom's going, land is going, shops going, business going. They don't care how many children are left behind, how many, my wife, my houses, my sits. He's got the yearning where I'm going thereafter. I'm going with success. That's the care. That's the muflun. When he dies, the successful person, angels come with a nice fragrance, with the shroud, beautiful fragrance. And he's smiling at the time of death. The successful person, he's smiling. He welcomes them. And I can share with you, personally in my life, I've seen people dying who have died a successful death. He's smiling at the time of death, and his tongue is saying good things at that time, because he's seeing good things, and he's leaving successful the world, and he's not worried, he's not in the grave at that time. His decorator room, he has like a welcoming, like the red carpet, the lanterns, the lights and the lamps, and he's waiting to go, want to go, and then he's put into a nice slumber, a beautiful sleep. Peaceful sleep. And he doesn't know hisab, kitab, where is he? La khawfun alim wa lahum yazanun. The doors of Jannah open for him. And he goes into the barzakh phase. Mashallah, he eats and drinks and enjoys. Because the real Jannah will come afterwards. The hisab, kitab, after the reckoning. But in the barzakh, during the grave, that's also a phase. First, we will be there. Say subhanallah. Subhanallah. Alhamdulillah. Praise be to Allah. When a person goes into the grave, after that he goes to the real Jannah, after hisab kitab. But before that, Allah has made a Jannah in the barzakh, the period during the grave. Same things, a reflection, but it's not the real Jannah. It's not the real Jannah in the grave. No, that's where we go in the waiting period. Waiting period. Allah makes a beautiful place, ease and sleep and tranquility. So mashallah, even the qabr is like the window to the, you can say, his reward in the hereafter. He sees that somebody comes and prays Fatiha at the qabr. And immediately there's a connection. That somebody comes, go and sit there, listen to him. He's come to see you. He gives salam, he gives walaikum salam. He does dua for him, the person in the grave. He's also happy, the person in the grave, that he's remembering me, he's doing dua for me. So you should go to the graves, my brothers. Your mothers die, fathers die, friends die, colleagues die, and the people you love die. Then they're going to the grave. We don't have time in this dunya to go to the grave. We don't even remember them to go to them. They're waiting for us, brothers. When you go to the grave and meet someone, they're happy, the inhabitants of the grave, they say, Mubarak, that your sons come. Mubarak. Those people whose parents have died, their graves are nearby. It's lazim, essential. Essential. Rather, have essential after every fajr. Go and sit there and do maraqabah and give the thawab to the inhabitants of the grave, your parents. There's an alim of ours, very big alim. I won't say his name, you know him. And he's a big alim scholar of our city. And he told me, mashallah, I was very happy when I heard this. He was sitting there and we were talking in some place, we were together. And he said that every day I go to my father's grave after fajr. And he's very busy, occupied, he gives dars and durus. And he said, when I go there to the grave, I go in the morning to my father's grave. I sit there a little while. This is the love, the muhabbat. He said, I sit at the grave, then I do dhikr there. Dhikrullah. I do dhikr there. And he says that I did this for a while. Then I was surprised. I looked behind me. Some people, extra people came behind me and they sat behind me. I said, okay, let's do collective dhikr there. He said, after dhikr, then I do dua for my father. And it's like he's listening to me in the grave, everything we're doing. So brothers, this is the path. There's a link. Why have we broken the link? Those who loved you until yesterday, your mother, your father, they're not detached from you. They're still your parents. There's just a veil between us and the alam-e barzakh. Say subhanallah. So they're not far from us. They are very close, and we should go and do deeds for their thawab. Isa al-Sawab. So there are two states at the time of a person's death. The person who has these two good qualities, then he will be from the muflihun, the successful people, and he's forgiven beyond forgiven, and he'll enter into paradise laughing, smiling. The two qualities, definition of the successful people. I'm giving a shuka. These are points I've heard from the faqirs, and I'm sharing them with you. Alhamdulillah. So no lengthy debate, do this many hajj, give this much zakah, this much Quran. Just two things have been said. And the Quran says this. The Quran that we read regularly. That the person who has these two qualities, criteria, he will rise with the muflihun, the successful people. And he is successful. Guarantee for that individual. What are the two qualities? Listen carefully. Two things what we should have. First quality. First and foremost. La ilaha illallah. In other words, iman, faith. Faith. Faith is the first thing. Without faith, brothers, there's nothing that can be achieved. That is the wall that divides us between kufr and iman. That's the difference between faith and no faith. So first quality is lazim iman for a human being to have. So this kalama, if this is in your heart, then he has iman present, faith within him. Believes in Allah. Quality number one. So that's the first thing, is iman. Say alhamdulillah, we have iman inside us. Alhamdulillah. Secondly, along with a person that is included amongst the muflihun, the successful people. What is that? The Quran has said this. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. Isn't this in the Quran? That he has succeeded. He has succeeded. Second quality who? قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. The person who has iman. And second quality, مَنْ تَزَكَّى. The person whose heart is clean and pure. At the time of death, if he has these two things in his possession, subhanAllah, at the time of death, what two things? One is iman, and secondly, a pure, clean heart. Tazakka. Pure, clean heart. These two things, if a person possesses, then he will be amongst the successful people. Included. If he has one less at the time of death, one thing less, then Allah forgive, then he will not be amongst the successful people. Iman, we understand, we are aware of it. What is iman? Yes, what is then the second thing that we need? Man tazakka, about which Allah Ta'ala has said clearly, we need this also. Obviously, now here there's deception in the dunya. The dunya, the definition of dunya is deception. Delusion, deviation. Everyone will say, my heart's clean. Everybody will say, my heart is pure. You will say it, I will say it. Our hearts are clean. Our hearts are clean, very pure. Allah Ta'ala has also given the sign and definition of the pure, clean heart. Don't just give empty, false claims that you have a pure, clean heart. Yes, don't look at your amal, your ibadat, my heart is clean. No, clean, pure heart, there are signs which hearts are clean and which hearts are defined as pure. All of these things I'm telling you, I'm explaining, so that we can analyze ourselves and see and determine that which hal am I in. Which state am I in? Because death is a reality and it will expose right and left. It will expose the milk and the water. There'll be no contamination. Here you can deceive. I'm a wali Allah, I'm a kutub, I'm a ghawth, I'm this, I'm pious. And everyone can claim this in the dunya. I am pure hearted, clean hearted. I do this action. I present my sheets. I can show you many clean sheets. I do this, I do that, I do this ibadah, this worship. Pure heart. Pure heart. So what's the sign of a pure heart, my friends? The pious predecessors have defined this. A very easy determination. The pure clean heart is that heart in which there's a special quality that you see. In which that heart you see the speciality that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, according to Allah's desire, his deeds, he, whatever Allah ta'ala prefers, he very quickly accepts Allah ta'ala's preference. Whatever ta'ala dislikes, immediately he rejects those actions. That, you know, the stomach, if you give the wrong food to the stomach, then it vomits immediately, isn't it? Because the stomach doesn't accept the dirty thing, impure thing, because it's dirty, there was poison or virus or disease. So immediately the stomach vomits out, because the stomach hasn't accepted that food, that negative food. Your stomach, it is clean, pure, it prefers good, clean thing. I'm just giving a small example, world example, so you understand what I'm saying. Yes, so what is vomiting? When he throws up, when there's something impure, not nice, you are fine, you get invitation to a feast whilst you're eating, go home, or feel upset, nausea, that food that you ate, there was something wrong in there, there was something not nice in there, so your stomach didn't accept and you vomited. So the pure clean heart is that when there's an action against Allah Ta'ala's preference and pleasure, immediately the heart will reject it. I don't accept this. I don't say subhanAllah, subhanAllah. Very simple, straightforward deenul Islam, brothers. There's no quarrel. There's no argument. To understand deen is not hard at all. Rather, we need to find someone who can explain it to us today. That's the hard thing. To find someone to understand it is not hard at all. But when you understand it, then practice with that. Once you understand, now have you understood what's a clean heart? The pure clean heart is that heart that whatever instruction comes from Allah that I like this, then you accept it from your heart. Allah, you like this, I accept it. Like keep the fast in Ramadan. Then with passion and desire, keep the 30 fast of Ramadan. Allah's pleasure, His preference. Allah said, I want you to do this. Allah likes this, that my servant comes. And immediately in the morning, the Fajr Salah, soon as it starts, he leaves his bed, mattress, quilt, house, he remembers nothing, no wife, children, house, he runs to the masjid. He does wudu, and he runs to the masjid, prays 2 rakah Salah, Fajr. That's Allah's pleasure. And the heart accepts that, he likes that. No excuses, no barriers. Your heart likes doing this action. It was just like your heart likes counting money, counting notes, running the business and running after the dunya. Your heart likes it. That's why you run after it. If your heart didn't like it, then how would you do run after the dunya? Your heart likes, I do this, I do that in the dunya. So we do that. So whatever the heart likes, the pure clean hearts, they will always like those things that Allah Ta'ala likes. The pure clean heart. The pure clean heart will like what Allah Ta'ala likes. So the heart is clean. It is pure. Subhanallah. What a beautiful subject today, if we understand this subject today. If only we understand. Beautiful lesson today. The heart is clean. It is pure. Doesn't matter how many wasawis come. Whispering of shaitan, shayateen, deviate. Oh, you're destroyed. Oh, you'll lose out. You don't have your man. You're not a strong Muslim. Say, I don't care. Well, I want to see what is the feeling of my heart. That am I running and practicing those actions that Allah Ta'ala likes? Or is the rest of it that is deviating me? I don't care at all. My heart is correct and clean. I am going to persevere in these good actions. That's what we need to think about. Yes? So if your heart is happy with what Allah is happy, Fajr time, hasten to the masjid, what do we do? No. So I'll pray at home. Oh, I'll pray in the beginning time. Allah says, I don't care about beginning, after time. All I know is that you pray Salah Jamaat Fajr. Salatul Fajr. Come to the Jamaat. Unless you have an excuse, you're sick, or there are big problems you have. There are Sharia excuses that are valid. Some. But if you have no shitty excuse, you are healthy, you can go, you can travel, you can come, there's no distress, no sorrow, no restriction, no barrier, no hurdle, no Sharia excuse. And his heart likes it, that I run. And most definitely, those in his hearts, they are clean and pure, then he does not feel like sitting at home at the Salah time. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. His heart doesn't feel like, his heart is desperate like a fish when it's out of water. His heart is desperate. Let me get to the masjid. Quickly get to the Jama'ah congregation. If you don't feel like this in every action that Allah Ta'ala likes and instructs and orders, Allah Ta'ala likes, Allah says, don't swear to anyone. Don't dishonor anybody. Don't discredit anyone. Don't consume anybody's wealth. Don't do zulm. Don't oppress anyone. If your heart is accepting this and likes this, Subhanallah, I shouldn't do this. I can never do this. And the heart says, do this. A man comes, says, oh, do this. What you should do. Sign on the dotted line. Inshallah. We'll go 50-50 on the money. Nobody will know. We'll do wrong. And the money will come to you. Normality in the world. Just sign here. Sign on this contract. You live here. And in Hindustan, you won't even know what's happening. We'll make some money. I'll put it on your name. Half the house is yours. Half is mine. Let's deceive. And you're living here. Nobody will know what you did. He won't know. We tricked him. And we'll take that land. Will usurp it, just sign it. And your heart will shake suddenly. No, I can't do this, Babu. I can't do this. It's impossible. Astaghfirullah, my friend. No, brother. No, I don't want this money. My heart doesn't feel like that. Then understand your heart is clean, pure, mashallah. Your heart is clean. In the same way, those things the heart rejects, those things that are the disobedience to Allah, that Allah Ta'ala has defined to us, those things that he doesn't like. But we laugh and joke, we like music, singing, but the heart of the pure man, he says, what is this destruction? Switch this off. I don't want this. I don't want this. The standard with heart has become that everything that Allah Ta'ala does not like, he dislikes. Subhanallah. Understand, your heart is clean. If you don't have this condition in your life, brothers, then what is that situation? He's not the muflihun. He's not from the successful world. Then he's in deception. It doesn't matter if he does 1,000 hajj, does 1,000 umrah, does 1,000 recitation of Quran, does 1,000 Ramadan. But the heart state has not changed. His heart is not clean. Then the ibadah will vanish with the air. Because Allah has put a condition, shard, iman and pure heart. Qad aflaha man tazakka. That's it. End of story. No second, third excuse. So now we need to look inside our hearts, let's analyze, let's scan, am I living a life of deception? The Allah Ta'ala's ahkams, when they come, orders, how many do we reject? We choose them, we select them. No, totally not. Like that thing which Allah Ta'ala likes. That's the end of story. Allah likes this, my heart does not accept if I don't do this. That's it. My heart doesn't feel to do what Allah Ta'ala doesn't want me to do. Subhanallah. So this is Allah Ta'ala's instruction, direction, guidance to make the heart clean like this. Then what do we do? Say Subhanallah. What do we do to make a heart like this? قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَى وَذَكَرَ اسْمَ رَبِّهِ فَصَلَّى. What does Allah Ta'ala say next? وَذَكَرَ اسْمَ رَبِّهِ فَصَلَّى. Allah clearly says that my creation, if you want to purify your heart, iman has come, you got faith. If you want to clean your heart, then there is a solution, method, that do the dhikr of the name of your Lord. Subhanallah. Quran is prescribing this to us. Not Maulana Sahab, not Mufti Sahab. Direct, the Quran is prescribing. Qad aflaha man tazakka wa dhakara isma rabbihi fasalla. That if you want falah, you want to raise with the people who have falah, success, you have two qualities you must have, and you have to have iman and a pure heart. If you want to make your heart pure, then there's only one way you can achieve that. What is that? That your Lord, your Creator, recite His name. Recite His name. Do dhikr of His name. What is your name, Allah? It is Allah. His name is Allah. Allah says that in you are living in this dunya, planet earth, and the dunya will spoil your heart, shayateen will come, different circumstances will come. But Allah says, if you recite my name, if you do dhikr of my name, if you call out to me, Allah says, Allah's given a guarantee, then I'll tell you the cure. Then inshallah, most definitely, you will depart this world with a pure, clean heart. If you do dhikr of Allah's name. But this is the reason why we go to the mashayikh, to the walis of Allah. Why do we go to their company? To learn the dhikr of Allah's name. That's why we go there. Yes, I'm not, Mufti Sahib's not telling you this, that you can debate with him. No alim's telling you, no Sufi's telling you. Direct verse of the Quran is speaking to you, giving you the prescription. Direct Quran, there's no hadith even in between. Not even hadith. Direct verse. So clean and pure does the heart of the person becomes by doing dhikrullah, that then Allah's liking becomes his liking, becomes one. Now here there's another great point that arises here, that when we do dhikrullah, remembrance of Allah, when we do dhikrullah, then after dhikrullah, if you want to see that my dhikr is successful or not, if you want to determine it, then clear standard Allah has given. A person when he has dhikr, if his dhikr is successful, if whoever's dhikr is succeeding, giving him benefit, then the condition of his heart will be that his heart will become pure and clean. If there's a dhakir, when he starts doing dhikr, he goes to a shaykh, wali Allah's company, and his heart starts to improve, transform. He starts to dislike those things in the world that Allah Ta'ala dislikes. Allah says, leave them. And he starts to love and like those things that Allah Ta'ala likes, then consider his dhikr is successful. Subhanallah. Because the objective for which he took the tasbih, the objective that he started to recite Allah's name, the objective that he went to the wali Allah for, he is attaining the objective. Subhanallah. The rest of it doesn't matter if he's got no kashf, no dreams, no miracles, no visions, no angels he's seeing, no enjoyment, no satisfaction, no taste, his business has gone downhill, and his distress and problems in the world are not far from him. Doesn't matter, because dhikrullah is not attached to these secondary things. Dhikrullah is attached to the primary thing. Is your heart clean or not? That's the objective of dhikrullah. The rest of it has no link to dhikr. I'm vanishing, I'm floating in the air, I'm not a wali Allah, I'm not pious, I'm not virtuous, and the things in my dunya are not getting easy. Dhikr has no relationship with the dunya. Whatever situation your life's going to be in, you have to pass through the phases, ups and downs, like a boat in the sea. And then whatever waves, the way the waves toss up and down, sometimes the waves take the boat up, sometimes down, sometimes round and round, sometimes a storm, and the boat will keep going up and down. You'll keep on traveling, 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 and eventually you'll reach the coastline. That's our life as well. Up and down, rough, smooth. We have to work hard on one thing, that our heart needs to remain, become and remain pure. And there's a sign for that. Through dhikrullah, you get a pure heart. And the sign of a pure heart, consider your heart, your dhikr is successful, your tasbih is successful, the sohbat of your shaykh is successful, in whose heart that change has arisen, that alhamdulillah wa ta'ala likes, you start to like. And you will sacrifice however much and whatever you have to in the world. That's what it is when you like something. When you like something in the dunya, you sacrifice time and effort for that, don't you? And with love, and you enjoy giving the sacrifice for that thing that you like in the dunya. You enjoy it. For example, there's a person who runs a market stall. It's snowing in the winter, cold winter. People put out the market stall. He has to go to Scotland. And I've seen this all my life long. Morning, early morning, 4 a.m. they wake up. It's cold. They pack their goods in their van, and they have a truck and a container. And they're traveling. Where am I going? Scotland, bro. I'm going to put my stall in. He's happy driving there through the cold, deep cold. And he's struggling. They fight each other to get a stall spot in the market so we can go there. What's this? That in their heart they love these things. I'll travel, they make money, count the notes, Maal will come, we'll sit down and spend our money. They like that. How much difficulty, sleep is going, effort, patrol, cost. My brothers, Allah Ta'ala, when Allah Ta'ala likes, and we get up and we struggle and strive and make effort, then we should enjoy that when we do that for Allah Ta'ala's sake. There's no difficulty, no complaints, no dislike. Oh yaar, I have to do this, I have to pray salah, yaar, my eyes don't open, oh, I don't feel like it, oh, it's too hard, I have to go work, I can't pray. What excuses is it? That means in your heart you don't like this. The muhabbat doesn't come into your heart yet. You have to do more dhikr, more dhikr. So the one cure The one cure, the muflihun, the successful, those people, the successful people, alhamdulillah, the pure clean heart, they present themselves to Allah Ta'ala's company and the court. The pure clean hearts are those that they are happy with Allah's rada, and Allah Ta'ala has made Jannah for them, and they will have success in hereafter. And for them, wahid, one clear path Allah Ta'ala has prescribed, that if you want to travel on this path, then do my dhikr kathir, high quantity, wa dhakar asma rabbihi fa salla. Do the dhikr of my name morning and evening, and keep doing your tazkiyah, my success. Successful? Am I improving or not? Am I getting to my destination? The person who has not adopted this path, he is doing a big mistake. They're poor souls. They're in a wrong path. They are deviated severely. Understand, come onto the right track, come onto the right path. Understand your purpose of life and grab hold of the dhikr of Allah. Do dhikr kathir and take the sohbat connection with the wali Allah so he can guide you and explain to you how to do dhikr. Why don't you do it? And dhikr is the wahid, one purpose of doing dhikr, that I want to improve my heart and to please Allah. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq to implement this. Ameen. Recite the Rusi.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. As-salatu was-salam ala sayyidina Muhammadin shafi'il mursalin taha wa yasin al-habib al-amin. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammadin nabiyil ummi wa aswajihi wa hadhihi al-mu'minin wa zurriyyatihi wa ahli baitihi kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa innaka Hamidum Majid wa sallim tasliman da'iman abadan kaseeran kaseeran. Allahumma rabbana atina fid dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati وقنا عذاب النار اللهم نسلك الافلا في المعافات الدين والدنيا اللهم انا نسلك من خير ما سالك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم انت المستعان عليك الولاء ولا حول ولا قوه الا بالله ربنا هب لنا من ازواجنا وذرياتنا قره اعين واجعلنا للمتقين اماما اللهم رب ارحمهم كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم رب ارحمهم كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم رب ارحمهم كما ربياني صغيرا وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين.